Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 20 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this journey to use NaNoWriMo to level up to professional output levels. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 36. Tim asks, when writing a sequel, say for book two in a series, how much knowledge of the earlier story or stories is too much to assume, in your opinion? I'm especially interested in cases where world building is very substantial in the development of the earlier story. Well, Tim, I am of the school of thought that says you provide your readers with the details they need to follow the story, and enough extra details that it provides the illusion of completeness for your setting and scenes and whatnot, and after that, don't worry too much about it. Now, I say that as a fan of Tolkien, and Tolkien is fantastic, but let's be honest, and this is true. The Lord of the Rings, The Silmarillion, and The Hobbit, that's three books, were a byproduct of his habit of developing languages. They weren't his life's pursuit. He was a philologist, writing was his hobby. And the sum total of popular books he wrote in his lifetime, depending on how you count, ranges somewhere from 3.5 to 4.5. If you want to count Children of Húrin as a half, and The Unfinished Tales as a half, and The Silmarillion as a half, since they were all edited and finished posthumously by his son, then you would count Rovarandom, The Hobbit, and The Lord of the Rings as one each. And then, I suppose, Smith of Wootton Major and Farmer Giles of Ham and The Adventures of Tom Bombadil all count as novellas. So, Tolkien didn't write a lot. Tolkien wrote a lot of languages and a lot of notes, but he didn't write a lot in terms of stories. The depth of your world building in whatever world you're in is going to depend a lot on the demands of your story. If your sequel is a story that's set in your primary fantasy world where the texture of the world doesn't matter very much, if it's, you know, a simple adventure story that doesn't delve deep into the lore of the world and that kind of thing, you can get away with some very minimal work, particularly if you're assuming that your audience has been through the first book. Now, if you're continuing a story that does dig deep into your world, you're going to want to do as much world building as necessary. In terms of recapping, there's all sorts of ways to handle it. The quick and dirty way, which works surprisingly well, is what the publisher of Tolkien's books did with his books, what Stephen R. Donaldson has done with all of his books that are in series. And that's to put a story so far pre-chapter, first chapter, where you basically lay out the facts of what happened in book one so that people will get caught up. I'm doing this with my science fiction spy series because it's a big, huge series with many, many plot lines. And I've been making people wait years in between books, so I kinda have to do that. That's a shortcutty way around it. On the other hand, you can convey an awful lot of world-building information in a few paragraphs incidentally, just by speaking of a world, of the strange parts of the world, in context as a side effect of what you're doing every day. Just like when you go to get coffee, you might overhear somebody talking about the latest scandal with the Congress or with President Obama or with whatever the popular political gossip topic is of the day, or about a celebrity scandal or whatnot. Those bare facts, which to you seem unremarkable, to a foreigner looking through your eyes at life in the United States, adjust this analogy for those of you who live outside the United States, a foreigner looking through your eyes will see something interesting, unusual, and exotic, and those facts all speak volumes about the nature of our political system and our culture and the world that we live in here in the United States. incorporating incidental details like that can get an enormous amount of world building across very, very quickly. When young writers talk about world building, they frequently talk about the long passages of description and exposition that you spend early in a series laying out all the facts that the story doesn't have time to get around to, but that you have to kind of know to get into the story. As writers get more advanced, assuming that they continue to grow throughout their careers, and not all writers do, some writers sort of settle at a certain level, and it's fine for them because they're enjoying what they're doing and their audience is, so it works okay. I'm a big believer in continuing to grow, and the writers that I've seen continue to grow over their lifespan tend to weave their world building in on an incidental level more and more the further along they get in their career. They get more confidence in their ability to spin a complete illusion, and they develop a lot more respect for their readers' abilities to pick up on what's going on. And that's a really good goal to shoot for. Just immersing your reader so much in the head of your point of view character that the world building happens automatically rather than on a storytelling level, which is what Tolkien did. Tolkien did it beautifully. Tolkien did it brilliantly, and it worked for a lot of us. But Frank Herbert was better at this particular thing because he dropped you into the middle of things, and he did not do a lot of expository explaining on what was going on. He created scenes that gave an excuse for exposition. That's the next level up. Another level up still, and I'll stick to fantasy and science fiction, another level up still is what Stephen R. Donaldson does in The Gap Cycle, where he drops you in this little 180-page book at the front of his massive 5-volume series. It gives you a really tight, incredibly horrific adventure story with everything you need to know to launch you through the next 4 books, all of which are these massive, massive tomes. And he does all of it without sitting down and explaining anything to you. He instead puts his main character in situations where his main character has to think through a very complicated set of actions in order to avoid prison. And in his character's thinking through, and by his character's attitudes and judgments and the situations he finds himself in and that he has to escape from, he minimizes the as-you-know-Bob style of exposition and concretizes the entire world very, very efficiently. Some of Tad Williams' better work is also very good at this. This is one of those areas in which writers can grow forever and never get good enough. There is so much room to learn and grow. I highly recommend you go for it. Lay in as much detail as you can with this sequel. Don't worry so much about how much is too much to do. Worry about how much stopping the story is too much to stop. And when you find that rhythm grinding to a halt, stop, cycle back, and figure out how to integrate all that extraneous information into the story so that it's vital to the story and it keeps everything moving along at a good clip. You'll build a more complete world this way, and you'll have a book that's a lot more fun to read and to reread. And if you've got rereadability, man, you're going to catch a lot of fans. I'll see you tomorrow. NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution no derivatives license.